The time is 6 o'clock, so it, when the councilors are ready, the ordinance committee is eligible to begin.
Thank you very much. I call the ordinance committee at 6 o'clock. Just to go over again, we do have, we are available for the public if they want to view. I don't know if we have any participants. Looks like we do have one, so it is working. Just wanted to confirm that. The numbers are available on the website, the city council website. You can see that, the Secretary of State's office as well. And we will also go over the numbers again before the start of the council meeting at 7 o'clock. First off in the ordinance committee is the acceptance of the minutes for the November 16th meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
As favorable action. It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. First off is PCO 9-20, an ordinance in regards to amending Chapter 40-30, PCO 8-18, smoking prohibited in public schools and on school grounds. This is Councilwoman Travis, first passage, not drafted. What's your pleasure, Councilwoman?
I'd like to hold that until February. We're still having trouble meeting.
Okay. First meeting or second meeting in February? What would you like?
We'll shoot for the first meeting.
Okay. I'll make that motion on behalf of the sponsor to hold until the first meeting of February. What is the date?
February 1st.
February 1st. That's easy enough. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Number two is PCO 16-20, an ordinance relative to pertaining and regulating charitable donation bids. This is for first passage. Councilman Ricks is the sponsor. Councilman Ricks.
Good evening. I'm really excited about this ordinance. I've been working on it for months, and it wouldn't have been possible to get to this point without the help of our colleague, Councilman Tim Howe, as well as the help of so many folks in the administration, including Lucille Dean and our building official, Al DeCourt. Let's see. I suppose to give a brief overview, I know that it's been a problem at several locations in Ward 2, and it's become very much highlighted since the pandemic started. And speaking with Councilman Howe, I know that it is an issue at different locations in Ward 3 as well. I'm sure that many of us here have experienced issues when it comes to these collection bins where people can drop off clothing or similar donations. But unfortunately, it ends up that the organization that puts the collection bin out either may put it very close to the road and obstructs the view of traffic, or otherwise is not checking it nearly as often as they should. And that results in people tending to dump garbage bags of donations or loose donations out next to the bin. And next thing you know, that whole area becomes something of a dumping site and an eyesore and even a hazard for folks who want to just use the sidewalk. So to give a little recap on this, and I also can't forget to thank Kyla Pakia, or I'm sorry, I'm butchering your last name, but thank you to Kyla, because without her guidance in this regard, you can just see from the length of the ordinance, a lot went into this draft to make it 6 pages, single-spaced, and that's all necessary because this is a complicated issue. Donations involved of this nature, they can involve for-profit as well as non-profit collection agencies. And for that matter, it can have implications as to the First Amendment, as well as other aspects of the Rhode Island and the United States constitutions. So what we were trying to accomplish in this is set some rules and regulations that are simple for the organizations to follow, and likewise simple relatively simple as can be for the city to be able to follow. Some of the nuances from this I do want to highlight are that instead of setting this on some sort of calendar year or the like in terms of the renewals, something that was suggested over at the building department was that, relatively speaking, January is a lighter month for them than the month of December. So the renewals could be due as of January 31st. And that way, when the building department is sending out renewal notices and inviting the charitable organizations to send in their applications or renewal applications, then the building department is taking on that task during a time that they're not quite as busy as the very end of the year. Some other nuances to this are that now, and to say, I should also preface this, that we're not creating this from scratch. The basis of this is tried and proven. There are a few other towns, cities and towns in Rhode Island that have similar ordinances. And this one was largely based on the comprehensive ordinance that Coventry had. And I think that we've made quite a few tweaks and improvements to it through the draft and through speaking with folks in the building department to make sure that this would be something that we can implement effectively for the benefit of everyone involved. Another aspect I'd like to draw your attention to is the fee schedule. This is important because we want to satisfy two objectives with the fee schedule. First, we want to make sure that this is affordable for nonprofits as well as for-profits, like that we're treating the for-profits and nonprofits even-handedly to comply with the Constitution, and also just keep it affordable for them, while also recognizing that when the charitable donation bins go out, that doesn't mean that it comes without a cost as is. The donation bins themselves cost money to construct, and often if it's on a location that's not actually owned by the organization that owns the same bins, then they're frequently paying a fee. So it would not be unreasonable for a modest fee to be included. And then in determining what that fee would be, we took a look at what the cost to enforce would be. And some of this, because we have not been enforcing in this manner before, some of this is an estimate, and we don't know how much exactly enforcement will have to go into this, but we tried to figure out what would be something where this can essentially be self-funding without placing any sort of undue burden on the organizations. So with that, I don't want to go too far into the weeds. I would want to mention one quick thing before I lose track of it, is that one of the final amendments we had was as to exactly where this ordinance would find its home in the Code of Ordinances. And so for that reason, before there is any motion, assuming that this committee chooses to move forward with this, there would be a couple of minor amendments that would be needed. So on the first page, line 9, it would need to be changed from Article 8 to Article 2. And then similarly on the first page at line 21, it would again need to state Article 2. And it would also need to briefly state that Chapter 32 is hereby being amended to read junk dealers and charitable donation bins, because right now Chapter 32 is entitled to junk dealers. It has exactly one article that pertains to junk dealers, and for lack of a better place to put this new article, it seemed that as charitable donation bins and junk dealers have in common is that they are taking these goods that people are otherwise discarding. It seemed that that was the most natural place for this particular article. But now that I've given a bit of an introduction to PCO 16-20, I would certainly yield the floor to members of the committee.
Sure. I will ask committee members first if they have any questions.
I have a few.
Yep. Councilman Sinatra.
So, well, the first, I guess, is more of a suggestion slash I'm going to do it anyway. The notice in here says it's going to go to the address given to the city. At one point, I'm going to move for an amendment just to have any notice that's being sent to be sent to the registered agent on the Secretary of State's website, given that you require them to be registered anyway. And that way, nobody can cry foul and say, oh, I didn't tell you. It's like, well, it's the same rules as you have for the Secretary of State. So you're supposed to be complying with that anyway.
I would agree.
And then the other thing, so on its face, this ordinance, well, I guess there's two things. One, if I'm a company, there's no way I'm putting a donation box. But if based on your experience, those other towns that have enacted this, if they still are have donation bins, then my view is kind of irrelevant. The other point I have, or concern, I guess, is on its face, this seems to cover things that it probably didn't intend to cover, like the Greater Warwick Lions Club. Like, we have small little boxes, for instance, in the library to connect eyeglasses that no one wants anymore, and then we donate them to people who need them. And I assume that this is not trying to capture that, because we're talking about small containers actually in a building. I'm not entirely sure, but I fear that this would capture that unintentionally as well. And I don't know if you want to address that, Jeremy, or if any of the various attorneys on board want to address that.
Councilman Sinapi, thank you. I'm glad that you brought that up, because taking a quick look at the definition of donation drop-off box, and I might be missing something in the rest of the PCO that makes that distinction. But now that you brought it up, I think that your concern could be addressed through a simple amendment that redefines donation drop-off box to, at the relevant place, include the word outdoors. And so, you know, certainly we're not trying to regulate any sort of indoor activity. We're concerned about these boxes that are stored outdoors.
All right, perfect. I think that's all I have for the moment. Oh, wait, I guess one quick thing. Do you know if those other cities and towns that you model this off of, if there's still actually donation bins that go up anywhere in the cities or towns once they pass this?
I believe so, but it's not something that I looked into too closely. I'd imagine that one could certainly find donation drop-off boxes in Coventry. I just haven't been out there myself to look.
Yeah, it seems like a safe bet. I was just curious. That's all I have for the moment.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the committee?
I have a question.
Yep, members from the council.
Oh, sorry.
Yep, Councilman Howe.
Thank you. I would like to identify that a couple meetings ago, I requested to be a co-sponsor of this, and if I stand corrected, Councilman Ricks, you allowed that, correct?
I did.
Thank you. And the reason why I asked that is because I want to show you. This is what Councilman. Well, this is why I decided to become a co-sponsor. That is on Alfred Avenue, right off Strawberry Field and Sandy Lane. That is a donation box. As you can see, where all the garbage is blocking the sidewalk, forcing people to walk out into the street. No longer was it a donation box, it became a trash receptacle. And interestingly, when phone calls were made by a constituent that was very concerned about the appearance, but also the safety, he got diverted to a few places, and he ended up getting an email from someone in New York. There was no one in the state of Rhode Island, and the person in New York, he called on a Monday, and the person in New York said, oh, we'll have that cleaned up by Sunday. So again, it was something, and I want to compliment DPW, and because it was a safety issue, and the Warwick Police, it was a safety issue. They went out and cleaned it up to ensure the safety of our citizens. So I want to compliment and thank Councilman Ricks for beginning this process, because that is something that actually was coming up right when we talked about that, Councilman. So this is what this is targeting. I understand what Councilman Sinapi is saying, but I want to say this is what we're trying to address. And it also brings it more local, and it puts more responsibility on the people, these bins. I just need you to think about what I just said, where we called, made a phone call, sent an email. Someone in New York answered for a bin that's on Alfred Avenue in Warwick, Rhode Island, and said within a week, we'll clean up that massive safety breach that is right next to a bank used by our citizens off a main road, that the people have to walk in the main road to go around the garbage. Shows you what, so we need more local activity here, and this is why I support it, and this is why I'm asking for everyone to, if we can come up with a compromise. But Councilman Ricks, thank you again very much for allowing me to co-sponsor and writing this up. And also thank you to Ms. Pecchia Esquire.
Thank you. I believe Councilman Lattiser is next.
Oh yes, thank you. Councilman Ricks, I also want to compliment you on this this ordinance, you as well as Councilman Howe. There obviously was an extensive amount of work put into this, and I can concur with you and Councilman Howe, because I've had a couple of areas, one in particular in my ward that has been a problem, was a I would call it a significant problem for some time, and it was not receiving any attention from anybody. The same picture as Councilman Howe put up was a similar situation to the one I had. I was able to track down the owner of that particular company that was responsible for the bin after a fair amount of research, and it actually went well. It was within a couple of days, he had the mess, as Councilman Howe described it, a trash disposal thing is what it was. He did have it cleaned up. There has been, on occasion, kind of falling off the wagon, so to speak, and going back to some of the problems, but a phone call did clear it up. Just a couple of things that I have as a question is, you specify in here 5 feet from a roadway. I would ask if 5 feet is adequate, because in speaking from experience, I know people have complained over the years about cars being parked a little close to a sidewalk and they can't see around the corner. Complaints about snow banks from different places all over the city that are blocking the view when they're trying to turn out on the street. I know for certain that some of these locations that they're referring to, the accessibility to the street is, you certainly need to be closer than 5 feet to the street in order to see past whatever that obstruction is. So I don't know if 5 feet is adequate. I know you addressed something further in that if it does prove to be a problem, that it'll be addressed. I just don't know if maybe it's something that you want to increase a bit now as opposed to waiting and see if it is a problem. And Councilman Ricks, you know firsthand, one of the things that I'm referring to. So that's one issue. The other issue is, and I did not see it in here, I know that you have a fine of, I believe it's $100 per day for violations. Is there a fine in here for not acquiring a permit in the first place?
Thank you, Andy. Yes. So let's see. On the fourth page near the bottom, under section 32-13, violations and penalties, it does include on line 44, unpermitted placement of a collection bin as triggering a fine.
And is that fine specified in here?
Let's see.
Because of course, when I think of permits, I think of building permits, and I think about the requirements for permits and what the penalties are for not having a permit or taking out a permit, et cetera, et cetera. And if you do not have a permit and you are working or begin work through this city council, we've increased that fine significantly because of the extensive amount of outlaw contractors we have. We're not speaking about a contractor who has a logistical issue and somehow permit didn't get taken when 99% of the time permits are taken. So
right.
Is that specified in here?
So I was able to find the correct provision. So let's see, that penalty is actually, it is the same $100 per day. And that's specified section 32-15, which is at the bottom of page 5 and continuing to page 6, that states then that in addition to any other penalties or remedies authorized by the laws of this state or city, any person who violates any provision of this article. So that relating back to that earlier provision, shall be subject to a penalty of $100 for each violation. And then it includes those same five violations, including unpermitted placement of a collection bin.
Good, good. And the last question, actually there is one other one. In my previous life as chair / vice chair of the Contractors Registration Board, one of the big problems that we had with trying to collect fines or find these outlaw contractors, as I have termed them, was the out-of-state entities. And we solved that problem. Well, I shouldn't say we solved it, but we certainly made progress on that problem by requiring for any out-of-state contractor to be registered or licensed and or licensed in Rhode Island, they must provide an in-state agent of record for any out-of-state contractor. And Councilman, I'm not sure if I saw that in here or not. If I did, could you just show it to me? And if I didn't, could you consider an amendment that would require that? Because trying to get service, as Councilman Howe indicated, trying to find these out-of-state anybodies is, it's a monumental uphill chore, to say the least.
Yes, and that's an excellent point. To address that point, this is back on page 2. Again, near the bottom, under the as part of the application. So if it's a registered 501c3, then they need to include that information as well as state corporation information, which would be with the Secretary of State. And then similarly, if it's a for-profit, we actually listed it a little more clearly for the for-profits, where they have to submit proof that they are authorized through the Rhode Island Secretary of State and that they are in good standing. But one other item that helps to distinguish this from the probably far more serious problem with outlaw contractors is that, at least with here, if the organization is
simply not paying up the fines and the donation box is sitting there continuing to pose a problem, then the city can repossess the donation bin. And so because they have that expensive object out there, it does give them a little more incentive to comply. And if they don't comply, then the city would be given that power to take the bin. And if for a time the organization is refusing to comply, refusing to pay its fines, then the city can ultimately keep the bin.
So you think that the language you have in here for service and notice of service, et cetera, is sufficient, that you don't need to have an agent of record for an out-of-state entity?
Well, I think that that information should be recorded with the Secretary of State. And I think that to the extent that it might not be in some specific instances, because I know that how it often works with so many of these out-of-state corporations is that they simply, there's a couple of ones that I see all the time when I'm looking up the certificates on the Secretary of State site, where they're basically listing, a particular office where they basically have a post office box. At least what distinguishes that a little bit in this scenario is that we have that leverage where at the end of the day, if they're not complying, then we can go to what's section 32-16 on this. And, as I'm giving this one last look over, it looks like another amendment that we would want to make is so that section 32-15, page 5, line 45 reads fines and penalties. And then section 32-16 continues to read abandonment notice of determination. So to get back to the point before, I noticed that little mistake with the titles of that subsection. Let's see, there is a notice provision at the end under 32-16 that if no action is taken by the owner within 10 business days, the city can seek an order from the Warwick Municipal Court to take action on the collection bin, either relocate, reuse, recycle, or discard the bin.
Okay, fair enough. It's certainly something that if it develops a patent of a problem of serving any of those entities, certainly it's something that could always be changed. Once again, Councilman Rich, Councilman Howe, I think you both did a real good job with this, along with Kyler and everyone else, Al DeCourt, et cetera. It is a problem. I know it's been a problem in my ward. I'm assuming everyone has had a problem with it on and off. And if permissible, Councilman Rich, I would like to also have my name added as a co-sponsor.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Thank you, Councilman Lattiser. Any other questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Okay, I will entertain a motion. I believe that we have several amendments coming, so I will let one of you two handle that, Councilman Sinapi or right, Councilman Corley.
I got at least two of them, so move to amend.
Okay, so should we move it favorable with amendments? How's that sound?
Works for me. Do we want to go over them first?
Yes, please.
So at a minimum, I want to do the one that Jeremy suggested as far as making sure it's clear that the donation bin is outside. I think that perfectly resolves that concern I had. And I also want to make it so that the place where we're mailing to is the registered agent per the Secretary of State's website. That way, even if they are out of state or they try to wiggle out of it. It's like, well, hey, we sent it to where we were supposed to send it. That's on you guys. And I'll leave it
to those points
of language.
I'm very eager to collaborate here with co-counsel. Regarding those points, Councilman, on page 1, line 39, it could work to put a comma after the word closed as well as the word outdoor, so as to read a closed comma outdoor receptacle or container made of, so on and so forth.
Makes that, sense.
That is satisfactory to the sponsor of the amendment as well as other members. And to that second point you were making on page 6, line 26, before the period, we could insert a comma and say, or a registered agent of the entity as filed with the Rhode Island Secretary of Estate. This would allow the department to issue it either directly to them or to their registered agent.
It's better.
And certainly wouldn't preclude them doing both, but it gives them the option if those make sense to the intent of your amendments.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay, I believe we're also going to change the article number. Councilman Ricks, is that correct?
Correct. So let's see. Page 1, line 9. So the heading, change that from Article 8 to Article 2. And then also page 1, line 21, change from Article 8 to Article 2. And then also on that same line, add in the language so that it reads, Chapter 32 of the City of Warwick Code of Ordinances is hereby amended by adding Article 2 and amending Chapter 32 to read junk dealers and charitable donation bins.
Okay, and Councilman Lattiser has a question.
Oh, yes, thank you. I'm looking at the first page again, and on line 32, it said the income raised from such fees shall be directed into a fund restricted to the maintenance of the permit program. Is a restricted receipts account, is that permissible now?
We believe that it is. This is something that, excuse me, had come up. And so the idea being that it would remain in a restricted account for the building department as to this particular program. And that way, it's essentially self-funding.
And the building department would be the one tracking that particular account?
Correct.
Okay.
It could so also assist by segmenting it out, members of the council, it could assist in any potential challenge to the item as the fees related to it could be justifiable or they may need to be adjusted in the future, but it puts forward a clear metric whereby the fees being raised here are associated with the underlying purposes for which the ordinance is speaking to.
Sure, which... Yeah, I've supported.
As you're familiar with some other fees,
I've looked at restricted receipts accounts in the past, and certainly I do have favor for them for their purpose. So it will remain. It's in the building department, is what it comes down to.
Totally agree. Correct. And
okay,
correct. And for that matter, as Assistant Solicitor Walsh was saying. Not just from that legal perspective, but also from, I see it as also a good government perspective, by having it structured this way, then members of the public, anybody who is interested in this, has confidence that this is not simply going into the general fund as some sort of revenue generating idea. It's really just a matter of paying for the cost of the program itself. Let's see.
I think it's a great idea.
Thank you. And if I may, before we forget, to also amend page 5, line 45, I believe that the title there next to section 32-15 should be amended to additional violations and penalties.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Ricks. Mr. Walls, can we go over each one of the amendments one more time before we move passage on this or take it for a vote?
Sure. If I could just double check, I think I may have missed one of the sponsor's amendments, but if these are all being incorporated as part of the amendment made, the items that I have before me at the moment are page 1, line 9, striking Roman numeral 8 and inserting Roman numeral 2. On page 1, line 21, making that same amendment. On page 1, line 39, after the word closed, inserting comma and the word outdoor. On page 2, line 2, just a clerical item of cleaning up some inner strike that appears in the text but wouldn't be there normally. Page 5, line 45. Councilman, were you adding to the title or changing the full title to additional violations, semicolon, penalties?
Changing the title.
So page 5, line 45, we would strike abandonment, notice of determination, and insert in its place the words additional violations, semicolon, penalties.
Correct.
And then on page 6, line 26, after the word article, we would be inserting a comma and the words or a registered agent of the entity as filed with the Rhode Island Secretary of State. Was there another item that you wanted to clarify, Councilman Ricks?
Just one other item. This would be part of the amendment to page 1, line 21, where after we replace Article 8 with Article 2, add the phrase and amend Chapter 32 to read junk dealers and charitable donation bins. More of a housekeeping for the chapter as a whole, since right now the title of the chapter is just junk dealers.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, Lynn.
Sorry, Councilman. On line 39, page 3, the permittee must provide proof to the city clerk. So is this office now taking on something for the building department again? I just have that.
I would be fine with, I think that may have remained from an earlier version. I would, as part of the amendment, respectfully request Councilman Snappy to, as part of the amendment, strike city clerk and replace that with building department.
Thank you, Councilman.
Makes sense.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks.
Okay. Back to the Councilman Ricks's suggestion. I think if we amend line 23, where the appearance of chapter 32 is, insert the normal title and then insert semicolon, comma, charitable donation bins. I think that would cover what you're seeking to accomplish.
He's giving the thumbs up.
Thank you.
Okay, so it's line 23. We will be inserting the full name of chapter 32 and adding to the end of it a semicolon with the words charitable donation bins to follow. And then the final item that was just raised by the clerk, page 3, line 39, striking the word city clerk and inserting the building department, the words building department. this amendment is being, is that encompassing all items that you wish to include in one omnibus amendment?
Works for me.
All right, so Councilman Snappy, do you want to move that as amended?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And now we need to move it favorable as amended. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and second.
Can you just make sure we have any public comment prior to the vote on the amended item?
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions from the committee? Any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? Ken, is there any questions from the public? And we will at the full council meeting, we will go over these amendments again on the floor. They will be read off again. So everybody is aware of all the amendments that we will be making.
So, and I'd add one other item is just a reminder, members of the public, as this is first passage of ordinance, it will come back up for another review by the members of the council.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Walsh. So it has been moved and second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And it passes 3-0. And that closes the ordinance committee at 6:41.
That's public safety then next, right?
Public safety is up next and it is eligible to begin. I'll just need one quick minute for a couple notes, but I'll be with you in a second.
All right, I'm going to pull up my agenda while I'm doing that. And I assume, Tim, are you ready? Yep, there he is.
I'm ready.
Public safety can begin at 6:42 p.m. First thing we have is acceptance of minutes from the November 16th, 2020 meeting. Do we have a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Next we have claims. First things first, acceptance of minutes from the November 4th meeting on the claims consent calendar. Do we have a motion?
Move for favorable action.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. First claim on here is Jeff Sweet. Hit a pothole in Glendale. Recommended approval for $300 from the department. That's not great. So his affidavit, he checked the third box, Attorney Walsh, and he didn't actually say what he's going for, where he's going for it from. So usually when that happened, we checked in with the person and had him say on the record what was going on. I assume we probably have to do that again.
Is the potential claimant here?
No, I think the only person in attendance is a different claimant.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be happy to hold this. And I'll be open to whatever date you feel, if you want the next meeting or maybe in January.
I'd rather do the January just for the sake of time. And I know Lynn's only around for a few more days, so.
And before we have a motion, if I may.
Of course.
So I did notice a couple of other issues here that we may want to address at the same time if we're going to be reaching out to the claimants. So let's see. With the windshield itself,
I, on this committee, haven't previously seen a claim for a windshield caused by a pothole. And looking at the pictures that were provided, as long as I'm flipping through this packet, actually, correction, I don't see pictures provided on this one. So I'm a little unclear as to the proof that windshield damage was caused by a pothole, aside from the brief statement that, and I'm going to read it verbatim, cracked windshield, my car has rattling from other holes from all over Warwick, holes, cracks everywhere. That's the end of the statement in relevant part. So I'm not necessarily saying that pothole damage could not result in a cracked windshield, but that does seem a little bit unusual to me. So that might be an area where we would want to ask the claimant on for some additional information.
Yeah, it's definitely a good call because the description is unclear, to put it gently.
With that, I would ask to be excused as to interrupting Councilman Howe, and I would certainly support seconding the motion to hold to a meeting in January.
Mr. Chairman, I would also recommend the move to January, give everyone a chance to get over the holidays, move into the next year, but thank you.
Councilman Lattison? You're muted.
Thank you. Just to expand a bit on Councilman Ricks. So this individual is also clearly indicating that my car has rattling from other holes from all over Warwick, holes, cracks, everywhere. I don't know. It begs the question as to is this particular pothole that he's talking about, is it about a tire issue, a windshield issue, or about hitting potholes all over the city?
Yeah.
It's all over the place. Thank you.
Good points. Does anyone else wish to speak before we entertain a motion to hold?
I have a quick question.
Yep.
Sorry about that. On these claims, because a lot of them seem to be coming up, that with all the missing information, this all comes up from finance. Is there something you want me to advise finance of?
I mean, if you could, that'd be great. I know we've previously, every so often we have these discussions.
Don't read all the claims when they come up.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's really your burden either to bear.
So I just feel bad that they come up and it's missing all this information.
I mean,
if there was anything you wanted me to reach out with. I'm sorry.
It's our problem to keep an eye out for this, not yours, as far as I'm
concerned. No, I know, but if there's something you want me to reach out to finance and have them do something else with the claims, just let me know.
I was thinking, Mr. Chairman, thank you, Lynn. I was thinking, Mr. Chairman, maybe if we come up with a simple checklist that can be handed out. I understand that they get this stuff mailed in. This could be a discussion of another time, but kind of going on what she's saying, I do notice that a lot of times, like, maybe a simple checklist. Do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? Just to go with it. But that's, I just got done reading this. I mean, I'm good to hold or I'm good to decline. It's one or the other. There's so much in this that is just questionable, but whatever your pleasure is, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, we've previously, I could probably just hit forward on an email we had in the past with Harrington sent out for us, but I think a checklist might make it more palatable too and more easy. That way anyone walking into the role, it could be basically anyone could figure it out. Wouldn't have to be someone who regularly sees these.
Can I just interrupt?
Of course.
Sorry. There is a checklist and it's part of the claim form. If they're coming to you incomplete, we always advise a claimant that they need to provide all that information and that the council reserves the right to do whatever they do if they do not provide all that information.
Gotcha. Yeah, I, as much as I'd like to continue discussing this, it's definitely a bad idea to open meetings. Sure.
I just want to say there is there is a checklist. It's on the form and all of that. So
appreciate it.
Yep.
Councilman Howe, do you want to make that motion, preferably for the second meeting in January?
Motion to hold claimant Jeff Sweet until second meeting of January.
See, you're trying to speak, Jeremy. You want to do it? There it is. Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We have a PCR for that. $119.20, Len. Is that right?
That's correct. Sorry.
Thank you.
Next, we have the claim of Michael Ashworth.
Yeah, I believe he just said PCR 119.21. It's actually PCR 119.20.
I heard 20.
Oh, okay, fine.
Now you got me doubting myself. It is 20, right?
Yes. Right.
Correct, 20.
Claim of Michael Ashworth, hit a pothole on Hardig Road. Yeah, okay, yeah, no, that's probably accurate. Anyone who's driven around Hardig Road knows that. Recommended approval of 298.70. Affidavit looks like it's correct. And he did provide pictures of the pothole. Oh, yeah. Wait, Michael Ashworth. This might have been the person that posted it online. There was a particularly bad pothole very briefly on Hardig Road, which pretty much if you hit it, you were going to lose a part of your car one way or another. I'm guessing he hit that one. Yep, it's the guy who blew out his tire. I know this one. So I know far more about this than I want to. I'm gonna move for approval, but obviously first, any questions or comments from the committee?
I hate to be the rain on the parade. As much as I think that for this type of vehicle, the invoice appears to be certainly the amount that was actually paid, and it seems to be a reasonable amount given the other estimates. I would point out that included was the lower estimate from Walmart of $224.58. However, that did not include the installation and the alignment. I noticed that not specifically included in terms of a precise price from Walmart, but there is an indication that the installation is between $15 and $25 per tire. So if we were to go with the lowest estimate on that, that would raise it to $239.58. And I think that under our procedure, I know that I would be comfortable with passing favorable action in that amount. However, that does not necessarily compensate him for the actual cost, especially as that does not include the cost of the alignment. So I would request that at the pleasure of the chair, perhaps we could pass this at the amount of $239.58, or alternatively, give the claimant an opportunity to present additional evidence or specifically an additional couple of estimates on the cost of alignment so that we would be able to review that and potentially give him that greater amount of compensation.
No, that makes sense. We've done that for at least two or three others by my recollection. We let them know, look, we can do it at the lower amount or you can get a better, more detailed estimate so that we don't have to do that. Councilman Howe?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I don't want to get too deep in the woods in this. I understand and respect what the conversation is. However, we've always done it, and you know, I'm all about opening the mind and looking at other ways to do it, but we've filed on claims where the three of us have said, well, the charter says it is the lowest amount, and we've never given those people the second opportunity to do it. And I just feel I want to stick to the to the integrity of what we've been doing for the time, where the charter does clearly state we would give the least of the three estimates as the amount we would award if the award is granted. I understand the department recommended payment of the $298, but the department doesn't make the decisions we make here. That is a department recommendation. That is a recommendation. It is our responsibility on the charter, and the charter says the lowest amount. I would be all for the $224.58, and we've done that with residents and non-residents such as this one. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, I know at least two or three claimants that I personally have called after we held it so that they could get a estimate that more reflected actually what they did, aka labor. Labor is pretty much the thing that everyone always forgets to do on their estimates. And I'm perfectly comfortable continuing to do it that way, given that I know there's a few that we've done that way. You're probably right that they might be ones that we didn't do that way. Shame on me for not realizing it if that's the case. But I'd still like to give people the opportunity when I do remember, at least, I'd like to give them the chance to do that.